Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, it's Friday. You're listening to Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan on Channel Q.
Yes, hello, everyone. Happy Friday. We have made it to the end of the week. And honey, don't I need this weekend.
For real. I mean, there are no words to describe what is happening. We are, of course, covering everything here.
Yes.
But we want you to know that we are here for you. And we're also trying to, I don't know, is it possible to even like try to keep it light at any point? We've been talking about that.
I think we have to be realistic about what everyone is feeling, but we also want to be that space where people can come and listen to this show, where they can feel well-informed, but also feel like they are getting a break from everything. And so we're going to give you a little bit of that today. So be expecting it. Be expecting to find out about the realness of what's going on in this country, but also we might throw in a couple orgies.
Exactly. That's all you had to say. The pitch was there.
Right.
Okay. We also have, and this is a big deal for us because we've never spoken to a presidential candidate.
Yes.
We have former presidential candidate. He's now the head of California's Task Force on Business and Job Recovery. Tom Steyer is joining us next.
Oh my gosh. Like seriously, this is incredible. I'm so excited. And the conversation was so good. So stick around for that. You don't want to miss it.
Yep. All right. Let's get into some what's trending this hour. Minnesota Mayor Jacob Frey issued a curfew order for the city starting tonight at 8 p.m. Between then and 6 a.m. Saturday, no travel or gatherings in public will be allowed. The curfew will also be in place Saturday night at 8 p.m. to Sunday at 6 a.m. So that is interesting, an interesting decision, considering obviously there are protest riots happening. Will it make a difference? I don't know.
Well, I do know one thing. This mayor, he was the one that has really, we played his clips where he's talked and been accountable for everything. He said what it is, what the situation was. He wasn't trying to be this politician. And honestly, I think this curfew is because, you know, Trump, which we're going to be talking a little bit later, did issue this type of warning of sending in the military. And I doubt him as a mayor would want to see any more lives lost, especially black or brown ones. So I don't know, but I just hope everyone is staying safe in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Because this is a lot. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, we don't want more people hurt and more deaths, that's for sure. Now, Michael Freeman, Hennepin County attorney, announced that Derek Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. He, of course, is the police officer. We've seen the video too many times of him basically killing George with his knee on his neck. Freeman said the investigation is ongoing and more arrests and charges are anticipated. Now, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. And I want to quickly just note Jarrett Hill, he's our political correspondent that we love to have on. He actually noted that third degree murder is the lowest form of a murder charge there is. It's unique in that it only today exists in three states, one including Minnesota. Then pair it with manslaughter. He says, at what point do they just spit and slap us across the face? I thought that was a powerful tweet to read.
Yeah. And now Joe Biden has made a statement about George Floyd today after speaking with his family.
We must commit as a nation to pursue justice with every ounce of our being. We have to pursue it with real urgency. Got to make real the promise of America, which we've never fully grasped, that all men and women are equal, not only in creation, but throughout their lives. Again, to George's family, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I promise you, We do everything in our power to see to it that justice is had.
Meanwhile, President Trump has spoken out about the death of George Floyd and the protests happening right now, but why Twitter continues to flag his response for glorifying violence. We're getting into that later in the show. But coming up, we mentioned that we have an amazing interview with Tom Steyer. Well,
yes,
that is coming up right after this. He is former presidential candidate. He's an entrepreneur and now head of California's Task Force on Business and Job Recovery. Don't go anywhere. That's coming up next. Well, Ryan and I are very excited for our next guest. We're kind of freaking out, right?
Oh, you already know I'm freaking out. I feel like I talked to an astronaut and now I'm talking to a presidential candidate. What is going on in my life?
I mean, raising the bar here. We have right now joining us on Let's Go There, former presidential candidate and head of California's Task Force on Business and Job Recovery. Tom Steyer is joining us. Welcome, Tom, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's a pleasure.
I mean, Tom, yeah. I hope you're ready for this wild ride because Let's Go There is a time. So just buckle in. Get ready.
I'm strapped down, okay?
Good. Well, first, we like to ask everyone who are coming on our show right now, how are you doing?
Look, I'm lucky enough to live in San Francisco, California, which is at all times a really nice place to live. And I feel really lucky in the context in that I can be here. I know that there are people in California who are suffering a lot. I know that there are people who are sick. I know there are people who are worried about, you know, all the health ramifications of this. And I know there are people who've lost their jobs and there are people who are worried about taking care of their families. So my heart goes out to them. I talk to them, you know, as part of my job, co-chairing this task force, advising the governor on jobs and business recovery. I talk to people who are suffering disproportionately from this. And part of our task force mission statement is to make sure that the under-resourced communities, specifically Black and Brown communities across our state, who are suffering disproportionately on a health basis and who are suffering disproportionately on an economic basis, are at the front of our attention on the task force. And that we never forget that we're trying to come out with a just, equitable, sustainable, and resilient California. So it's absolutely in the minds of the governor and of the task force members that we have a goal to right some of the wrongs and injustices that existed before this and have been exacerbated by this crisis.
Yeah, if you're just now joining us, we're talking to former presidential candidate and head of California's Task Force on Business and Job Recovery, Tom Steyer. You know, before I was just examining this, I was thinking about it. In February, you officially said you were no longer running for president. That feels like a decade ago. It feels so long. And then you immediately, COVID-19 happens. You jump back into kind of your latest gig now. Did you even have time to take a break after ending your presidential campaign?
No. You know, honestly, this is a huge year in America in ways that we knew it was going to be a huge year and in a ways that no one knew it was going to be a huge year. So I knew, you know, way before 2020, that from a political standpoint, this was going to be a pivotal year for the United States of America in choosing what we want to do going forward. And that's true. It's absolutely a pivotal year where we're going to make a choice. It's going to determine an awful lot of things about your future and my future and everybody else's future. But we didn't realize we're going to have this double crisis of a health crisis and the resulting dramatic economic slowdown. And so this is a year where there, honestly, I'm Ryan, I know it sounds funny, but I'm very grateful that I get a chance to participate. Yeah. I truly am, because I feel like we're in it together. I want to be part of the people working for a better outcome that we can, if we're going to, we come through this suffering and we come to a better place as a result of it. And I want to be part of the team that is working for that. And I'm grateful to be able to be part of that team, because I feel like our society's got to pull together, and pulling together, you know, I want to show up for everybody, and because I otherwise wouldn't feel good about myself.
If you are now just joining, we are talking to entrepreneur and chair of Governor Gavin Newsom's Task Force on Business and Jobs Recovery, Tom Steyer.
Yeah, I feel like we're more connected, but yet disconnected than ever before. And I mean, me and Ryan talk about this all the time, coming from different backgrounds, and this show is very much creating a safe space for that. But I mean, there's a laundry list of things. Obviously, I think that there's a feeling of not being able to trust quote unquote rich people, billionaires, millionaires. The fact that you hear these headlines of a lot of rich people continuing to make even more money during this time. What is the responsibility of the wealthy during this time? When you see those headlines and you see others that are perhaps not doing the same work that you're doing.
Look, I tend to believe that the rules of society should be set by elected officials like our governor. And the reason I think that is, you know, when I look back to the big challenges in America, and so the really big, you know, when I think back to the civil rights movement, when I think back to World War II, when I think back to the Depression, we really needed government to step in and set the rules so that everybody was on the same page. And so I want people, you know, I am very respectful and admiring of people who do the kind of selfless work that I was describing, of being a nurse, of being an emergency medical technician, of being a teacher, of going out and helping kids in the variety of ways. I totally respect it. But I think that society has to agree on rules for all the people who don't necessarily feel that way, Shira. And so, you know, it's kind of like, if you think back to civil rights, there's some people who actually led the civil rights movement, and we all know who they are, and they're famous. There's a Martin Luther King national holiday to recognize.
But at the time when he did that, didn't he go against the rules at the time? Yeah, he was.
But then they changed the rules because of what he made happen. And I mean, you know, here, they changed the rules about marriage equality because a bunch of people fought for it for a long time against the rules. Ultimately, you need the society and the law to change to protect people.
Now, don't go anywhere, because when we return, Tom Steyer tells us what he thinks about the riots in Minneapolis and why his company is still endorsing Joe Biden after his latest controversial flub. That's next.
Now, if you're just now joining us, we are back with former presidential candidate and head of California's Task Force on Business and Job Recovery, Tom Steyer. Now, let's just jump right back into this, because I feel like we've been getting to know you, and I just want to know, what is your perspective on why you think your campaign didn't work? Because it seems like it was all lined up, but what do you think is the reason why it wasn't connecting with the American people?
You know, honestly, I think, Ryan, there's a huge issue in that campaign just about name recognition and sort of how do you get covered. So there's a whole realm of this about communications that is, it's not just a question of, you know, if you have five people over to dinner, if you and Shira eat dinner with five people in a row, you then pick the person who you think is the most, you know, going to be the best president. I think to a large extent, there's a question of, are people even, you know, are people getting a chance to invite you over to dinner and listen to you and hear what you're saying?
Yeah, because they already probably have pre-biases because, one, you're a billionaire.
They got other things to do. Yeah. They got, and so there's a real question about getting covered by the press and being taken, all this junk. Look, what I felt, just so you guys know, I loved meeting people across America, doing what we're doing right now, which is having an honest conversation where you know, I say something, you push back, you say something, I push back, and hopefully at the end of it, we're all smarter. I love doing that. Love doing that. And I think if I'm not learning something from you two, then shame on me, and maybe shame on you too. But I think that's not the experience today. And that wasn't my experience on the campaign trail. I met so many people who taught me so much.
and of course, we don't have you for a long time. We could go for an hour here, but your company's endorsed Biden. So we had to ask you, what do you think of his latest, if you don't vote for him, you ain't black comments?
Woo! Howdy.
Look, I think he has a history of standing up for African Americans. And, you know, I think he apologized for that comment. And, you know, I think he said he shouldn't have said it and that he regretted saying it, but that what he was underlying saying is true, which is he has a very, very different history of supporting civil rights, the African American community specifically, than does the sitting president of the United States. So I think that that comment is one that he apologized for. And look, let me just take this out of that context and say this. It is incumbent on the Democratic Party to respond to the members and supporters of the Democratic Party. And at the heart of our party is the African-American community and African-American voters. And you know, right. That was part of my campaign, was to say, you know, we have got to come together as the diverse party that we are and celebrate that and make sure we're actually representing what's going on in the communities that are our party. And, you know, Ryan was talking about what's going on in Minnesota. Yeah, we have got to make sure that we're dealing with what's going on in reality in the United States of America.
So if you're just now joining us, we are chatting with the former presidential candidate and now the chair of Governor Gavin Newsom's task force on business and jobs recovery. But with the news coming out of Minnesota and the unfortunate, devastating murder of George Floyd, where do we go from here? It doesn't really seem like anyone is listening to Black voices.
Look, I had said, Ryan, when I was running for president, I said, I'm for reparations. I would have a commission on race. I'd announce it on the first day of my presidency, that we have to go back and say how we got here over the last 401 years. That, you know, tell the story about how we got here, not just about injustice, discrimination, and racism, but also about the contributions that the African-American community has made to the United States of America, which are massive and include being the moral leaders of this country for not just generations or decades, but centuries. And I think we need to tell that story, because I believe that out of story and out of history told honestly comes policy. So if you want to have an unjust policy, tell a lie about somebody.
Well, I think Black and brown people want to be heard at right now more than ever. And I think people are tired of feeling like their lives don't matter, especially in this country who promises it to be free. This is the land of the free. Your dreams can happen. I just think, you know, especially me, being a Black queer person right now, it does feel devastating to know, like, this is the country that I'm living in.
That was a huge part of my campaign for the presidency. What you just said.
Yeah.
Giving people their story back, their voice back, and having policies that reflect the honesty of those stories. You know, that's what I was trying to do.
So obviously you were trying to do that. Now you're working with Governor Newsom on this jobs task force. I guess, where do you take your intentions from here, right? You're obviously sharing that now. So what are you going to continue your political career? What's next?
Look, right now, I am focused on giving Governor Newsom as much good advice as the people on our task force and I can come up with.
Yeah.
I think he's done a really good job. I think that he has good values and that the things we're talking about, he cares about. And I want to support him as much as I can, because I want him to succeed. And I think he is succeeding, and I want him to continue to succeed. And where that, you know, honestly, the funny thing, Shira, is I don't know where it takes me, but I, you know, it's like, as I was saying, I want to work towards the solution. And every time I've tried to do something, all I've asked myself is, where can I make the most positive impact? And that's what I'll try and do.
Well,
my values don't change. I just keep trying to figure out, Ryan's question, how do we actually make it happen now?
Yeah.
How do we get justice and equity and sustainability and progress.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Tom, for your time today.
And you have a place here at Channel Q as well. Yes. You know, don't forget about us.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Tom. Now, we were going to get into a conversation today about how to have a fun conversation again. We just thought that was tone deaf, but kind of impossible right now.
I think it is tone deaf, but also I'm just not in the mood to have a fun conversation. I am stressed. I am drained. And I don't even know what furthermore to say. And I think people, when you work in a platform like this, I think people expect you to have something to say. And for once in my life, I am completely speechless. And so I just don't really know how to navigate a time like this. And the idea of social media breaks are so real for me, which I want to talk a little bit more about, because there's so many people in my life who are doing that, who are taking the break. I feel like the straw that broke the camel's back was last night when President Trump tweeted what he tweeted. And so, I think it's a lot that we have to kind of unpack here.
Yeah, so we wanted to do a mental health check, and we have psychologist Josh Klapo back with us. Thank you so much for being here for this. We appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Ryan made a good point, and I think it's a point that is unique to, somewhat unique to the profession that the two of you are in, but something that a lot of people are experiencing. You all talk for a living, but I think a lot of people are saying what Ryan just said, which is, I don't know what to say. I can spout off, I can be angry, I can be upset, but like, it's almost as if we are saturated with huge topics to the point where we're almost speechless, or at least meaningfully speechless.
Well, I think to give even more further clarification about this is because I am one of the only people of color, obviously there's Dr. James on Drop the Subject, not Dr. James, but Nurse Practitioner James. But I feel it very heavy. And so I feel like when we're talking in terms of representation and what we're doing, I do feel like eyeballs are on me to be a part of the conversations, whether that means posting about it. But I feel like what we do here, we're talking about it daily. I even had to have a chat with, being complete transparent, have a chat with Shira and our producer Chance about spreading some of this stuff out, because it is a lot for me as a person of color to continue to talk about what I would consider this information to be trauma-born. You know, it's very traumatic. I think that's really where I'm coming from when I'm saying, I just sometimes don't know what to say. And I also feel the pressure of feeling like I have to say something.
Well, you're right. And Ryan, here's the other thing too. And you know, as somebody who's white, I don't know this. I don't know what you're experiencing, but here's what I do know. On top of what has just happened, on top of things that have happened historically, we also have a pandemic. And so when I think about it as a psychologist, and I just think about the multiple layers of stressors, I do know that people can only take so much, not before they crumble completely, but before they shut down. And I think a little bit of what you're experiencing, or what it sounds like you're experiencing, is that kind of, it's an emotional shutdown. It's very protective. The I don't know what else to say, or it's too heavy. It's almost like your mind is saying that I need time to process, and I can't interact right now. And that comes from different people. It comes from lots of different stressors, but we got enough floating around right now that it's not surprising to me that you're experiencing that.
Yeah, we are talking to clinical psychologist Josh Klapo, and I've been even seeing, besides obviously being with Ryan and us having honest conversations, I've been also seeing in my feed from other friends who are Black who are just like, I can't work today. I can't talk. I can't do anything. What is your advice? What are people supposed to do?
I think number one is we do have to extend grace and compassion. And what that means is, if I can't work today, depending on your job, et cetera, you know, you do take a sick day. You do tell your boss, I can't do this today. And again, some of this depends on your job. That's number one. Number two, remind yourself that even if you feel in the moment like I can't do any more, that sometimes a day or two at the most is all you need, not to fix things, but to kind of get yourself back a little bit. People feel like if I take a day off, or if I don't back off, if I back off, I'm going to crumble. We're not wired that way. But I do think when you reach your saturation point, you have got to take a break. And if we keep pushing people to just keep going and keep going, what you're going to see is A, people shutting down emotionally, B, people shutting down physically. They get sick, they have physical symptoms. C, people acting or engaging in more impulsive behaviors. Those are the three things that happen when we get saturated psychologically, and they have to be managed, and taking some time away is important.
Well, thank God it's a weekend. I don't know if that'll make a difference.
For sure.
Everyone, by the way.
Virtual therapy. Yeah. Get yourself a therapist, because that's what I'm doing after today. I got a therapy session literally after this.
Good for you, man.
Well, Dr. Josh Claypo, thank you so much again for joining us and for sharing what you're seeing, because you mentioned in your, I don't know how many years history of doing this and background, you've never seen anything like this.
Not like this, but we are resilient. We are resilient. So I'll finish on that. We are resilient. We will get through this. We're wired to.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again for being with us today. Now, coming up, you might have thrown away your stimulus check. What you have to look out for in the mail that might have looked like spam. That's next. We are back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, and we're going to be getting into those explosive Trump tweets regarding Minnesota, the protests, and George Floyd, and of course, this CNN reporter who was arrested, and that captured all on camera. That conversation is coming up in a bit right here this hour.
And I feel like I must say, just because we just came out of that conversation with Dr. Josh Claypo, and he is such a wonderful human being and just great, and just great therapist. And I have to say, you know, I'm sorry if I'm feeling a little low energy or a little down today, y'all listening. I'm so sorry. Like, you know, it just doesn't feel like my regular self, because I don't feel like my regular self. And even Dr. Josh, he wrote me an email just to me after that conversation, and he just said some really kind words, and so I'm just like, oh, I love having the people like that around me, and so I just want to be like, you know, sorry guys, I don't want to.
No, my God, don't even explain yourself or apologize.
I'm not like being myself in some ways, and I feel that, and I just don't want the listeners to feel that. And if they do feel that, I want to be honest and transparent with them about obviously my feelings, and we're talking so much more about this later on in the show that you will hear those.
And I hope you know that you are not alone in that, and your feelings are valid, beyond valid. So I applaud you for showing up and being here and being you and being real, and your contribution to the conversation, because it's so important.
Way, you know, I think we all feel this way. Listeners hearing this, hearing us talk about these things, I think everyone's just feeling, where can they help? Where can they fit in? And I think just what's so simple enough, the best thing that people can really say is just like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I think acknowledgement is what's powerful.
And as Ryan always says to me, which I get to remind you of, is giving yourself grace and space.
Yes.
To feel it all and be there with it all.
Well, let's move on. Let's do this show.
Yes.
What's trending
this hour right now? Yes, exactly. Trump made a statement after speaking to George Floyd's family today, and here's what he had to say.
And that justice be served. And I spoke to members of the family, terrific people, and we'll be reporting as time goes by. We think that we also have to make the statement, and it's very important that we have peaceful protesters and support the rights for peaceful protesters. We can't allow a situation like happened in Minneapolis to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos.
That was it. I mean, I think that he is acknowledging that it's a horrible situation. I think that he needs to be more consistent. And
I don't
want to
hear from him
about all of those.
No, I don't want to hear from him at all. Nothing he can say will take back those words that he said last night on his Twitter.
True.
And I no longer will be saying this person's name. I'm going to be like Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and call this person, you know, Mr. the, you know, president. That's it. I refuse. I don't even want to call him president, to be honest. There's no leader right now. And he's most definitely not that person. No way.
Let's move on. And this is something that actually impacts a lot of people who still haven't gotten their stimulus payments.
Listen
up. A lot of you are still waiting for that. And they are warning people, don't throw away that debit card that just arrived in the mail because it could be your coronavirus stimulus payment. Instead of a paper check, the Treasury Department is sending economic impact payments in the form of prepaid debit cards to around 4 million people in order to expedite the arrival of the stimulus payments. And the cards arrived, just a heads up, as a plain envelope from Money Network Cardholder Services, according to the IRS, with the name of the issuing bank, MetaBank. So of course you might think this is like fake mail, right?
It feels very scammy.
Exactly. Some people expecting a direct deposit payment or paper check thought the debit card was a scam and may have thrown it away. And there's no indication on the card that it is from the federal government. So just a heads up, open that envelope and just make sure you do your research. And that does it for What's Trending This Hour. But coming up, we've got our WTF News Roundup, from orgies to bars that aren't allowing WTF masks. News Roundup. And let me tell you, these stories are, oh my God, funny WTF, not like, oh my God, this country sucks WTF. FYI.
Oh, I guess you're addressing the elephant in the room, huh?
I mean, well, we were debating on doing this entire segment, but here we go. Okay.
Yeah, honey, I need something new. I need something fresh. Let's change up the pace a little bit because the world, I'm tired. I need something to make me laugh.
Oh, yes. I have those stories for you right now, Ryan. Okay. So in an effort to give their neighbors a laugh during the pandemic, a couple recently posted 30 flyers advertising an Avengers-themed post-pandemic Pan-Philadelphia orgy. How about that?
Okay, well, I guess everyone is wanting to have a little fun and everyone's needing some human connection. So why not have one big orgy? It makes things getting, you know, you don't have to hook up with multiple people. You can just do it all right there.
Get it all out of the way. Well, it started out as a joke, but they've since gotten so many inquiries that they're actually going to do it. This is what they said. The orgy is on. Is this a hetero orgy? I mean, I don't know.
It's probably a hetero orgy.
Avengers themes could mean many are included, many types of people.
First of all, Shira, there's no gay Avengers. But maybe, you never know. I do feel all Marvel superhero movies are just begging to be turned into a gay porn.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Well, both the people who are hosting this, it's a husband and wife, a lighting engineer named Bob, and a sex therapist named Alyssa. Neither of them have attended an orgy, but both now feel they're obligated to hold one as soon as it's safe to do so. They said, this would be new territory for us, but it's something that we've been open to. All right. Well, congrats to them on discovering something new during this pandemic.
Sure. Did you send in an email? Did you get the contact information? I know you like to have a little human connection.
I'm curious. I don't think I'm going to be participating, but I would watch a live stream, perhaps.
Of course you would.
Okay, let's get into this. No mask allowed. That's the new rule a bar in Elgin, Texas is asking its patrons to follow. Ugh. Defying the COVID-19 guidance set by county, state, and federal leaders. The sign was posted outside the Liberty Tree Tavern as the bar is trying to figure out reopening after the pandemic. They said, due to our concern for our customers, if they feel, not think, that they should wear a mask, they should stay home until they feel that it's safe to be in public without one. Sorry,
yeah, like everyone no should stay home. Allowed. Everyone should just be staying home.
Yeah, the sign then advised that it would adhere to Texas Governor Greg Abbott's requirements, limiting occupancy of bars to 25% and 6 feet of social distancing between parties. They said, sorry for the inconveniences. Please bear with us through the ridiculous, fearful times. Well, this definitely gets a WTF. I mean, really, good point, but just being insulting and mean and rude.
Well, the fact that they're saying no mask allowed, well, how about we turn that place into a COVID-19 testing center because everybody about to have it.
I mean, for real. Speaking of COVID-19, a group of monkeys attacked a lab technician at Meerut Medical College while he was carrying test samples and swab kits taken from suspected patients. This does sound like the beginning of some sort of pandemic movie where it's like, oh yeah, here's all the blood tests with COVID and then a bunch of animals just steal it. Isn't this how we thought that it originally happened?
Well, honestly, I need to find these monkeys because they're the smart ones. They got all these these samples. Maybe they're, you know, animals sense everything happening. And you never know. Maybe they're having their own conversations being like, we need to be getting checked out too.
I mean, this would actually, I don't know if this would help them. In a video tweeted by a journalist, the monkey snatched the swab kits of three patients and escaped before the lab technician could do anything. They had to redo their test and the monkeys were later found chewing the samples on tops of trees, eating them. COVID-19 samples, Ryan. Well,
they were doing what they thought was best for them. So I'm not about to judge these damn monkeys. There's too much going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, a few days ago, also in a shocking incident, a viral video, a monkey riding on a bike tried to kidnap a baby who was playing with her family members in broad daylight. So these monkeys are not monkeying around. All right, that does it for a WTF News Roundup, as I got silence from the other side. All right, coming up, it was a little break from everything happening. But coming up, we are breaking down Trump's tweets surrounding the riots in Minnesota that were flagged for glamorizing violence. That's coming up in 10 minutes. The battle between Trump and Twitter continues. Twitter says President Donald Trump and the White House's official account have violated its rule against glorifying violence. And they've added a warning label to his latest tweets, marking the first time an action like that has been taken against the account. Now, the post in question, let's get into that, was about a third night of protests following the death of George Floyd. We don't need to get into those details right now. If you don't know about the story, then
where have you been? Yeah, like what rock have you been hiding under?
As videos of fires and protests in Minneapolis have been shared on social media and in the news, the president tweeted at 12:53 a.m. Eastern.
Which was his first statement, his first online statement, I believe it is, about this entire thing. Yeah. This is what he decided to say.
These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. His phrase, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, mirrors language used by a Miami police chief in the late 1960s during those riots. And that was immediately condemned by many people, from historians to politicians. And yet, here we are again. Well, Richard Fowler, Fox News contributor, is back with us. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I can't speak for sure, but I think we're both feeling it. You know, I think it's a heavy day. I'm hoping you are taking care of yourself as well.
Yeah.
You are just like us, talking about this stuff all the time. So I hope you are doing well.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I think that Trump tweet that you just started the segment with sort of speaks to where we are as a country, right? You have a president that, from the beginning, prior to the start of his presidency, has trafficked in bigotry and hatred. It started with the Central Park Five, where he took out a full-page ad sort of condemning five innocent black men to jail. After that, it was calling football players SOBs. After that, it was saying that there were good people who were Nazis and members of the KKK in Charlottesville. Then he called his top black advisor a dog. And the list goes on and on and on. And so now to think that this president really has compassion for not only the Floyd family, but for African Americans all across this country that feel the hole in their heart is just beyond me, right? And I think in moments like this, what this country needs more than ever is to look themselves in the mirror and to ask, are we truly the city upon a hill that our founders wanted us to be? Right? Are we really fighting for everybody's liberty and everybody's justice, or we're just fighting for a chosen few? And based on what we see taking place in Minneapolis, the answer is we're only fighting for a chosen few, and the rest, be damned.
Well, let's talk about how language matters, right? I think we saw Trump probably, two or three weeks ago, saying the people that were protesting to get a haircut during this quarantine, saying, you know, they're good people. How about you just, you know, how about the governor or the state officials just make a, like, try to help them. They're all good people. And then you see them describing the same situation where people are protesting for a life that was taken away. You see him describing them as thugs. Language like that really shows, and it's so powerful, and how much that matters. You know, it's unfortunate that we continue to see this.
And you know, the question, when every time that comes up, and as you hear all of these, and the commentators will say what this they'll say, but you hear them condemning, you know, folks for looting. And let me be clear, I don't believe these peaceful protesters that we're watching on televisions are the one engaging in the looting. But let's be very clear, when we kneeled in silence at football games, people were angry, right? When we protested in the streets in Florida after Trayvon Martin, they said we couldn't protest. So I'm just not really sure how they want us to express our First Amendment rights, since they're telling us that we can't kneel, now we can't march peacefully, because when we march peacefully, we're labeled as thugs. But where was? But once again, where was the First Amendment rights and the rights of George Floyd, right? When this officer had his neck, when his knee in his neck for almost 9 minutes. No. And if you read the indicting document, you find that one officer checked George's pulse and he had no pulse. And yet the officer that's now in jail, thank God, continued to have his knee on his neck. I mean, seriously.
And now they're saying that he had other conditions that led to this, which is crazy.
Underlying health. Health issues. CNN, there's a screenshot coming from CNN that's floating everywhere of just basically what it seems like is them blaming him for his own death, saying, you know, essentially, oh, yeah, he would have probably died anyway, but with the combination of everything.
But Ryan, that's what this is. And once again, this same, the reason why, if you want to ask yourself why Black people all across this country are so upset, it's just that. Because in every single case, whether it's Trayvon Martin, whether it's Eric Garner, whether it's Lakia Boyd, whether it's Sandra Bland, all of these names, in every one of these cases, what you're seeing is people trying to make the victim somehow the perpetrator. The answer is clear. That a Black life doesn't matter. If you watch the coverage over the past 24 hours, you saw what was people demanding justice, asking for this officer to be arrested based on the evidence, a tape of him choking this man to death with his knee. And yet a Black journalist, Omar Jimenez at CNN, was arrested far faster than an officer who engaged in what I would call here murder.
I'm sorry?
You're under arrest.
Okay. Do you mind telling me why I'm under arrest, sir? Why am I under arrest, sir?
If you're just tuning in, this is our camera crew, our CNN camera crew, being arrested by the Minneapolis State Police, we believe. The camera is now on the ground because our cameraman has been handcuffed.
And Ryan will probably co-sign on this with me. Black people, we're tired. We're tired of fighting. We're tired of marching. And this is a moment where America needs to look itself in the mirror. And we need people to not only be non-racist, they need to be anti-racist, which means simply this: one, acknowledging their own privilege; two, working on the internalized racism within them; and three, when they witness racism, being the first to speak out and the first to act out. Because we can't dismantle the system of racism, because let's be real, we never created it. We just happen to be living in it.
All right, Richard Fowler, thanks again for being with us and sharing those powerful words. Yeah, you can check out Richard Fowler on Fox News. He's a contributor there. And now coming up, more women are running for Congress, why most of them are Republican. That's next. Like the 2018 midterms, the 2020 elections are featuring a record number of women, yes, running for the House of Representatives. But there's one notable difference. This year, there's been a major increase in the number of Republican as well as Democratic women candidates. And joining us to dive into that and why that's happening is political commentator Jackie Coppell, who's back with us. Hey, Jackie. Thanks for being here.
How are you?
Good. I mean, this is a good thing. I'm excited. Whenever I hear about more women leading the way, I'm like, yeah, love it. But why more Republicans now?
Well, interestingly enough, it seems that there are more Republican women running because they were inspired by the Democratic women who ran in 2018 and were so successful in 2018. It seems that Republican women said, hey, there's a spot, there's an opportunity for us. And you know, it's like anything, right? When you see it can be done, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, I can be that too. That's why it's so important to have people in a variety of backgrounds, right? That's why people felt it was so, in addition to everything he represented, why Barack Obama being president was so monumental for so many people. Because all of a sudden, something that seemed impossible or out of reach was now possible, that they could aspire to that and potentially become that. I think it's the same thing. It's one of the reasons why people, I think a lot of women not all, don't worry, but why a lot of women were so disappointed when Hillary lost, because it was another example of a woman not being able to achieve something. And so for these Republican women, I think they saw, hey, Democratic women can do it, so can we.
Just because they're a woman doesn't mean they're supporting the same issues for all women. And so what does that really look like in terms of the balance there?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, we are not one large behemoth as women, just like people of color are not one large voting block that all do the same things. So what you'll start seeing is shades of what it looks like to be a woman who is an elected official and where their beliefs lie. Now, one thing that is pretty well known, and I don't have the data at the top of my, you know, at the tip of my fingertips, but essentially I'm paraphrasing the data, but it is pretty well understood that when women are in positions of power, generally speaking, they are more interested in essentially like getting the job done and compromising. So oftentimes you'll see when, for instance, my sister happens to be a leader in the world of incorporating women into peace processes around the world.
Cool.
She's very brilliant and puts life in harsh perspective.
Oh, we should have her on the show. Okay.
Seriously. She's terrific. And one of the things she said is what you see time and time again is when women are involved in governing and in peace processes, typically things go a little bit more smoothly, and it's less acrimonious, and it's more about how can we make this work. And so I think if that holds true for here, I think you could see a pretty big shift potentially long term as to how the country is governed, because if you have a large percentage of people who are looking toward how can we get it done? How can we pay attention? And quite frankly, there are certain issues. When a woman is a mother, there are issues, things like, you know, pay and things like working from home or, you know, work-life balance that will have a different lens put on it.
Yeah. When,
no matter what side of the aisle you are. It's a shared experience.
For sure. And we're talking with political analyst Jackie Coppell. And here's the thing. I am so interested in this topic specifically because I know even Trump, if Mike Pence isn't around, everyone has been talking about Nikki Haley, right? And how she is the number one woman in the Republican Party that everyone is kind of putting as this beacon of hope. But that is also interesting there, because wouldn't there be the same amount of weight for any woman kind of being that first vice president, regardless of Republican Party or not? Because we talk about that with Democrats, where it's like a woman will have to take on so much. Isn't it the same story and narrative around her as well if she was in this position?
Oh, for sure. There would be certain similarities no matter which party the woman is part of, right? Certain things that will carry more weight, without question. I think something that's very interesting that you sort of alluded to is when talking about Nikki Haley, people say, oh, the first woman president. I think oftentimes they assume that will actually be a Democratic woman. Mm-hmm. And what I would put out there is don't make that assumption.
Oh.
I don't necessarily, yeah. I mean, it may be the case, but it may also be the case that the first woman who is considered and deemed quote unquote acceptable for leadership in the country, as to how people vote, might actually end up being a Republican woman. Who knows? But I think this is a great example of something that could happen.
Definitely. Wow. Interesting way to see it. All right, Jackie Coppell, thanks again for being with us. You can follow all of Jackie's political reports on her Instagram at Jackie Coppell. Welcome back to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on Channel Q. And now we are getting right into what's trending this hour.
But super quick, I know we talked to, this is hours ago at this point, but I'm still freaking out that we got to talk to Tom Steyer. It's, you know, so cool. It's so cool. I have been very critical of him when he was running for president. I was like, why do we need a billionaire running and having him? He doesn't have any experience. But I actually really like him. He seems like everyone's favorite grandpa. And yeah, I'm just, his team, I don't know. He's just absolutely wonderful. I really appreciate him coming on.
Yeah, it was surprisingly really great. And yeah, it's amazing when you get a chance to actually talk to someone how that could change your opinion about them.
Well, he still, I will say, he was Mr. Deflector a little bit. Mm-hmm. He loved to dance around, but he's a politician. What can I say?
Yeah, I feel though if he knew us a bit more and if we had a bit more time, we would have just gotten him to really go there.
Yeah, because we know how to break people down.
Exactly. All right. But let's get into some headlines, shall we? Well, the UK is offering visa rights to almost 3 million Hong Kong residents if China moves forward with planned legislation that would basically criminalize protests and limit freedom of speech in the region. Here's what President Trump is doing right here in the US. He said today that the administration would begin the process of ending America's special relationship with Hong Kong, including on trade and law enforcement, and that it was withdrawing from the World Health Organization as part of a broad effort to retaliate against China.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We will be revising the State Department's travel advisory for Hong Kong to reflect the increased danger of surveillance and punishment by the Chinese state security apparatus. We will take action to revoke Hong Kong's preferential treatment as a separate customs and travel territory from the rest of China. The United States will also take necessary steps to sanction PRC and Hong Kong officials directly or indirectly involved in eroding Hong Kong's autonomy and just, if you take a look, absolutely smothering Hong Kong's freedom. Our actions will be strong. Our actions will be meaningful.
So this is a lot in the midst of everything else. So we'll see how this ends up shaking.
I mean, the repercussions from that are going to probably be, unfortunately, huge.
Yes, to say the least. Now, the U.S. missed out on an early chance to catch imported cases of coronavirus earlier this year. And that's according to a new report from genetic experts. Their analysis of the virus imported by the first person known to have carried the infection to the U.S. in Washington State back in January shows it probably was not the source of the later cases there. They said, our analysis revealed an extended period of missed opportunity when intensive testing and contact tracing could have prevented COVID-19 from becoming established in the US and Europe. That's what they wrote in the report. All right, now let's move on to some Taylor Swift, who is lashing out at President Trump today for his late night tweets threatening violence against protesters in Minnesota. She posted this, after stoking the fires of white supremacy and racism your entire presidency, you have the nerve to feign moral superiority before threatening violence? When the looting starts, the shooting starts. A lot of question marks. So that's what she posted.
Y'all know how I feel about Taylor Swift. She gets on my nerves, but I'm living for this Taylor. She might get herself a new fan. I might start publicly saying I listen to her music, even though I do it secretly.
Well, you just revealed that, so that's good to know.
Of course, yeah.
She also ended that with this, we will vote you out in November.
Because we will. We will, for sure.
Yeah. Well, coming up, we are getting into the T Report, top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's going on, Ryan?
All right, so coming up in the T Report, Forbes magazine just put Kylie Jenner on blast for faking her way to her billionaire status. Girl, the tea is hot and it is ready to be spilled. Coming up next. We're back with the T Report. You know those pop culture stories that you probably missed out on, but guess what, honey? We got you covered. Now, we're going to start off with some good news. You know I kind of like to do that, right?
Yeah.
We're going to start off with some good news coming out of Minnesota with everything obviously having going on right now. It's completely devastating, and we've been talking about it throughout this entire show. But celebrities like Steve Carell and Seth Rogen and others have announced that they have donated to a bailout fund to help protesters. Now, there is this fund going around. It is the Minnesota Freedom Fund, where a lot of people are donating to help protesters in the midst of right now to, you know, have bailout money, reach out to lawyers. And it's actually crazy because they decided, hey, we're going to be a part of this. And so
That's
thought
amazing.
That was really nice.
By the way, the URL is minnesotafreedomfund.org if you want to check that out.
Yes, yes. Now, let's move on to this juicy story coming out of the Kardashian-Jenner land. Well, Kylie Jenner has been stripped of her title as the youngest self-made billionaire. Yes. So,
oh my God, no.
No, seriously. In this new Forbes report, Kylie is being accused of lying about her wealth and forging tax returns in order to make her net worth look more than what it is.
What?
Yeah, so Forbes basically analyzed 6 months of tax filings from Coty. It's this company that acquired half of Kylie's business back in November. So they showed that Kylie's business is actually a lot smaller and less profitable than the whole entire family has been kind of leading everyone to believe. Shira, Forbes spent all that time trying to say that, you know, Kylie was a self-made billionaire, just to now say that she has been lying the entire time.
Well, that's crazy receipts. I mean, maybe they should just stop these dumb lists and maybe they wouldn't have to deal with this. Like, I mean, who cares about who's the most rich person in the world? Okay, we get it.
It does feel honestly, this story feels so tone deaf with everything happening. And when I'm looking at these pop culture stories today, like when we're going over what we're going to do for the show, I honestly could care less. My emotional capacity really honestly does not even give of, you know. Yeah. And so it's crazy for this to come out. Also because I also feel like I've been seeing, you know, tweets of people asking, you know, Kim Kardashian, Kylie Jenner to like speak out. And I'm just like, who gives? I don't care what they really have to say, to be honest. I don't even really care about this story, but I do enjoy a little moment, a little break to sip on this tea because that's very interesting.
Of course, who doesn't want a little escape right now?
Well, speaking of escape, I'm pretty sure Madonna would love to escape because she's being trashed and dragged all over social media again for this video that she posted of her son dancing to Michael Jackson to honor George Floyd. Now, some people would be like, well, what's the big deal? It's her son dancing to Michael Jackson's They Don't Care About Us. And basically, it was with the intention to honor George Floyd. But a lot of people, including me, to be quite honest, felt like she just grabbed the nearest black person around her, which happened to be her kids, and said, dance for me. It's completely tone deaf. I don't think it was the right time to post something like this, but I'm not shocked. Madonna's known for tone deaf stuff.
I mean, isn't she like on something right now? Her posts have been a bit out there. I mean, like this is strange. She could have made her points in a much better way. And there are so many videos out there to share of people that are singing songs, doing incredibly powerful poetry that do represent the message, right? And so this was weird.
Well, yeah, it just felt like, oh, I have black people in my life. But who knows? I wonder how you all felt listening because the conversation is divided. Hit us up at LGT Show. Let us know. Obviously, you can find more stories like this at WeAreChannelQ.com.
All right, coming up, our Yaz Queen of the Day involves a queer artist who goes by the name Big Dipper, and he's joining us too. That's next. It's time for our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Where we love to highlight amazing people, organizations, including those in the LGBTQ+ space, doing iconic stuff. And our next guest is definitely that person. Mm-hmm. But before we introduce him, we're going to play a little bit of his new EP, Ham and Cheese. And eat it up. Throw it down, pound it out, and eat it up. Now that was Ham and Cheese out everywhere, and joining us now is rapper Big Dipper.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here.
So thank you, one, for making me hungry now.
Yeah, the EP, you know, is also the name of a sandwich, but no shade if you are vegan or vegetarian. I eat like that as well.
Nice.
It was just the catchiest name.
I love it. I literally love it.
Great. I love that. You love it.
Well, it seems also about, you know, I feel thirsty when I listen to it.
Yeah, that's good. It's like a thirst trap in the form of 5 songs.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so wait, let's start off first because we're doing everything. We're checking in to make sure how everyone's doing good. How have you been staying creative during this quarantine? Because releasing this new EP is a big task in the middle of a pandemic.
Totally. And we also put out a music video for the first single. The single's called Like This. And in the video, it's like me and a bunch of dancers. And I had someone comment like, so much for social distancing. And I was like, you have no idea how slow I work. We shot the video in October. like, you know, as an independent artist, I am essentially running my own record label and I produce all of my videos and I, you know, manage all the music and executive produce everything. Yeah. So honestly, for me personally, the world sort of slowing down, I was able to just get into my own stuff and just work to get it all lined up and released. So I have been busy since we were not allowed to leave the house, making all this stuff happen.
Yeah, wow. That makes sense. And of course, Big Dipper, we're talking to you right now. How did you come up with your name?
It was initially a joke. I started making music in like 2012 when I was living in Chicago, and I thought of so many, you know, like a lifelong hip hop fan, and thought of so many great rap names, and often there is a descriptor, you know, the Lils of the world, the Bigs of the world, there are so many of us, and I just thought Big Dipper was a fun name that could lend itself to innuendo. Little did I realize Big Dipper is a part of the larger constellation in the sky. Which
you didn't know that at the time?
Ursa Major, which is the big bear in the sky.
What?
Oh,
so I knew the constellation Big Dipper.
Okay, good.
But you know how like every constellation is actually part of like a larger set of constellations?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Big Dipper is actually inside of like a bear. And there's Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, and the Ursa Major is where Big Dipper is. So,
literally a bear. Oh my God, that's so hot. Okay, so Pride season right around the corner. We're in the midst of it.
That's
what do you think is the most important thing about being a queer artist at a time like this?
I think connectivity, like, which is funny because my internet was being playful earlier. But, you know, the amazing thing about Pride events, and especially as an artist that I've been lucky enough to get booked at these events, people show up and they're ready to connect and be with community and see a show. And oftentimes when you play concerts or you do a club, people are coming to see whoever's on the poster. But at Pride events, people are going because it's Pride. And so you get to connect with so many new people, and you get to share what I got to share my music and my live show with so many people, and that is something that I love about Pride. And now that basically we're all going to be celebrating Pride in a digital space, I think the connection is what we have to stay focused on. We have to reach out and we have to not be afraid. I mean, there are some people who at their home, they can only celebrate Pride in their bedroom as it is.
Right.
And so now we are reinforcing that this summer because we have to for the greater good of humanity. And so we need to make it even more special. Even though we feel apart, we can connect, you know, digitally.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And you get our Yaz Queen, Big Dipper.
Yaz Queen.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I don't even have to say it. I'm just going to let him say it.
Oh, no, I want to hear you say it.
No, I think that was really good, and I'm keeping it.
Yes. Okay. And you can check out his new EP, Ham and Cheese, out now. And you can be vegetarian and vegan and still appreciate it, too.
There's probably some fake ham or some fake cheese out there. You know, Shira.
Yeah, those things I know. Exist. Exactly. All right. Coming up, we've got our hashtag Made My Day moment. We're bringing you some hilariousness because we all need that right after this. All right. As we wrap things up, we like to share our hashtag Made My Day moment. And usually we like to lighten things up with something funny.
Yeah. Have a little hilarious moment or just see the irony in everything.
That's definitely what this teen was doing. She's otherwise known as Black Belt Babe on TikTok. She laid down the facts about the truth behind looting, riots, and protests for white people.
Wow, this is nothing but straight facts. A lot of y'all are vocal about the looting, but silent about the murder. Let's go over something. We're gonna call this series, White People Rioting for No Reason. Ready? Let's go. Exhibit one, which is right here. Rioting after a surf competition. Exhibit 2, rioting after their football game lost. Exhibit 3, rioting after their baseball team won. Next exhibit, rioting because their hockey team lost. Next exhibit, rioting after their favorite coach lost their job because he ignored child sexual abuse. Another exhibit, rioting because their baseball team won. Wow! So,
I mean, it's real.
here's the thing. I stand her and I love truth tellers, and she did what she had to do in that moment. And thank you so much for having a little being like, well, don't you get it? It's so easy. That's what the irony is. And I think that's what we all need to be seeing this. I hope our president understands that as well. Play this for him.
Yep. Yeah, he just needs to go on TikTok. All right.
Maybe he's already on there stalking.
Who knows? All right. Well, that does it for today's show. We are sending you so much love right now.
Yes, yes.
During this time, we hope you take some time for yourself, with your loved ones, and just let's be there for each other right now, please.
Yeah, and honestly, if you need some quarantine content to get your mind off, go check out all of our people that we get to have these amazing, beautiful, open-hearted conversations with, because that is just the beauty of all of this. And I think that's what's important. You can find some encouragement. It can get you out of your brain, and that's what's needed. So head over to that. WeAreChannelQ.com. That's where you can see it.
Yeah, and the radio.com app, you just search Let's Go There so you can check out our podcast and subscribe so you're notified when we post new episodes. We work hard and we love doing this. So thanks for your support. Now, we will be back next week, weekdays, right here on Channel Q, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And we've got a lot more guests coming up. We've got Nikki Boyer, who's amazing. She's
love
the host
her.
Of Dying for Sex and the new Daily Smile. She is joining us on Monday. Plus, tips on how you can cut out the distractions and stay focused at home. That's coming up on Monday's show, and so much more. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Have a great weekend. See you next week.
Bye, y'all.